Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm Grant Spanier.
And I'm Vince Cochi.
And today is episode 16 with McCray Olson, who is a longtime associate of mine.
I guess you could say.
Yeah, we crossed paths in another life. I haven't seen the guy for a while. The last time I saw him, we were working on a set together. So McCray's got a background in the creative fields. He's been exploring them in different ways, whether that's production or now he's doing some sort of interesting design stuff, especially in the 3D space. And most people would probably know McCray from his stint on Big Brother 15 in 2013. And he ended up in fourth place.
Final four, yeah.
Yeah, made quite a run, represented Minnesota.
Stole America's hearts.
He really did. And today we were talking about crossing the threshold. And Vince, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to this episode?
Yeah, the way we examined it, crossing the threshold means that moment that you go from kind of either thinking about something or watching something happen, when you go from being a fan to being a participant. And what that entails, the trials, the tribulations, what exactly it means, and the ways in which it changes your perspective.
Absolutely. It was enlightening. It was fun. And
unique,
absolutely. It was sort of a change of pace for us, and I really liked that. And when I'm thinking about crossing the threshold, becoming a pro, sort of turning dreams into realities and ideas into action, I think of Pattern School of Business and Design, which is a one-week intensive course for people who are trying to turn those ideas into realities. And this episode's sponsor, and we want to thank them.
Very much.
So big shout out to Patterns, and actually it's a school founded and run by Mr. Josh Long of episode 2, Projects That Define Us.
Yes.
It was a good one, and he's a good dude. And I think his course, his class, his incubator, his accelerator, whatever you want to call it, it's a unique thing. It's something I've never experienced before I experienced it, which I had the pleasure to do in December. We actually made a video about the school, which you can see on the homepage of Patterns. It's patterns.co. And I would strongly, strongly recommend people who are looking for a spark, looking for something to sort of put them in motion, check out Patterns and really consider, you know, taking the course. It's worth the price, and it's worth the time and the energy. The connections you're going to make there are amazing. And spending that time with Josh and the people he brings in is a real treat. And I know I had a blast. And actually, that's where I met Sukhni Singh from episode 14. Look at all these references.
Connections, man. Connections.
Man, the super fans are really going to love this one. So go check out Patterns. It's at patterns.co. And consider signing up, because it's a worthy program.
And check out episode 16 with McCray Olson coming at you right now. Thanks for listening.
Fucking amazing.
Right?
That
beautiful.
Blew my mind.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And, like, my favorite president is Teddy Roosevelt.
Boom.
Amazing. Goddamn.
So, Vince, can you tell me what you're putting your time into, what you're working on right now? Love to hear.
I can, kind of. Oh, I can tell you what I'm working on.
Lock and Key? Are you on a classified project?
A bit, yeah. So it's a new business pitch at the old agency at Yamamoto, the place that I work, for those who don't know. Very cool opportunity. I can tell you it is a consumer and business-to-business electronics company, but I can't tell you any more than that, unfortunately. But we're
sharp.
Doing a full top-to-bottom pitch.
Oculus?
And what's that?
I'm just guessing brands.
I'm not going to tell you, man. I'm not going to say it.
All right, but you'll tell me if I'm getting warmer, right? Tell me the first letter. Tell me the first letter and the last letter.
I'm not giving you any hints.
And one middle letter. Tell me about the logo. What is the logo? All right, fine. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's been keeping me pretty busy. It's like a full you know, it's the whole thing. The client's getting involved pretty early on, so they're going to see the sketches on the wall, and that's always cool.
What is it, the dog and pony show, did they call it?
Yeah, I don't think, I think it's the opposite, right? The dog and pony show is when it's all like, it's all staged. Like, yeah, it's all purposely primped and set up. This is like coming in raw. It's going to be cool.
Okay, yeah, that's a change of pace. I feel like it's a, man, the whole pitch process is pretty interesting. It's kind of, it's cool. Also, a lot of bullshit. And also,
it can be, yes.
We say winning, like, oh, we won the pitch. It's like we're keeping score and trying to, like.
Yeah, it becomes a very, like, kind of machismo, kind of sport. Like, it's an interesting dynamic, and every company does it differently.
And the losers die, right?
Yeah, they're all
the client. The client walks out like Caesar with the thumb.
Yeah, and you're put to the sword. Fingers crossed for that, and it's been going well so far, so I'm excited about it.
I'm crossing my fingers for you, brother.
Hey, thanks, bro. What have you been working on, Grant? Why don't you share the same with us?
You know, just jamming on stuff. A lot of TEDx. We have TEDx Hennepin Avenue coming up.
Can't wait,
in July,
man.
And we've got a lot of momentum. We're releasing tickets in the near future. I don't want to date this, so I won't tell you. But by the time this airs, they'll probably be out. Yeah, a lot of stuff with that, and a lot of writing. I don't know if you caught any of the blogs I posted recently, Vince. Did you?
I saw them posted. I didn't read them yet, though. I was such a bad friend and co-host.
Yeah, definitely. But usually I'll argue with you, but I won't argue with you right there. So I wrote one. I've been getting a lot of really good feedback, one called Scared Shitless. Just talking about fear and how pretty much everybody's afraid of stuff. And that's kind of where we're all operating from, even from a biological level. And then another was just a letter to somebody who had written me, and I took a lot of time to write her back. So, yeah.
Bit of an open letter kind of situation?
Kind of, yeah. It really wasn't to her, but it was, you know. Yeah, so I've been writing a lot on Medium. So go check that out if you get a chance. Medium.com/@GrantSpanier.
Show notes. Awesome, man. Sounds like you've been busy as always.
Yeah, you know, jamming. But I was going to say not as busy as our guest.
But we can't confirm or deny.
No. Our segue game is such shit. So our guest is somebody I met.
That's not bad.
Back in the day. We're both grinding. I like it. We're both hustling. I was working. I just started at a small little startup agency thing. And our guest was doing some video production. He was actually, Vince, I should show you a picture because I'm sure McCray was booming. Had the boom mic at some point, and Vince actually was the boom maestro on a trip on a documentary we shot out west.
I've boomed in my day.
Boom. Yeah, a couple of boomers.
Did you go out west? Wherever that creative
Chris
go west.
West. Yeah.
That was
a blast, man.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, what a fun trip.
Did you go out west or whatever that creative go west?
Get that
I was on that trip.
Florida, baby.
So.
I'm here. I'm jealous.
The destination,
jealous.
Man, that everybody's dreaming of.
Let's do it. Yeah, creative go east.
So the voice you're hearing right now is of McCray Olson. I met him under different circumstances, but since then he's gone on. You know, you're doing some pretty interesting 3D work with cake modeling, which we'll have to hear a little bit about. And I know you've got a passion for the video production, which is how we met. And most would probably know you from your stint on Big Brother 15. I think it was last summer.
Yep, last summer.
Yeah, and you made a hell of a run, and we were all cheering for you here in Minnesota.
But to the Final Four, if I'm not mistaken.
Final Four, yep.
And
I appreciate that.
It was pretty amazing, I got to say. I mean, I watched every episode. I was rooting for you super hard.
Oh, thank you.
And
you stole America's hearts.
You did. No, man, you played a hell of a game. And you really, I mean, you had your back against the wall, and you won a couple of the challenges, really, to like, I mean, that was the only way. There were a couple of times where it was like, either this or you're gone, and you made it happen. It was impressive, I got
to
say.
Back to the wall. And I'll interject quick before we ask you, but this is a first for the show, having someone who's gotten a lot of national broadcast television attention. And it's going to be interesting coming from someone whose main kind of thesis for conversation isn't going to be around like entrepreneurship or startups or personal project launching and that sort of thing. It's going to be a cool perspective, and I'm excited for this conversation. At the same time, there's a lot of the same creative principles that go into playing a game like that. So
Definitely. I'm going to be a different type of guest, but I was listening to you guys' last podcast, and I noticed that you guys mentioned your last guest's hair, and you said that guy might have the best hair from all your guests, but I'm here to say that maybe I might have the best hair of all your guests now.
Unseated. You know, yep. Man, I can actually attest to that. You had some pretty killer flow back yeah. in the day, and I know it only got longer, stronger, more vibrant.
I'm just putting that out there. I don't know. It's up for the world to decide. But
we'll show notes pick, and we'll let our guests make the call.
What we'll do is we'll yeah. show notes. We'll show notes a side by side of Benjamin Reese. That was episode 15.
Yeah, I think it's right? 15.
Yeah, episode 15. You're referencing, and we'll pull those side by side picks. And yeah, I think we'll take a little poll of listeners and
yeah, that'd
and
be
see,
excellent.
And we'll demand a winner.
Awesome. A great start already. You're fitting right in, McCray. And so let me do the honors of asking you, what have you been working on lately?
Lately, you know, after the show, it's been a whirlwind of just absolutely insanity, just like crazy amounts of attention, mm-hmm. which I'm not used to getting. So, but a fan actually said that, you know, they have this cake mold shop. And they needed someone to 3D design cake molds. I have no idea about 3D designing. I had no fucking clue. So they were just like, you know, you're smart enough. You can figure this out. And then they mentioned 3D printers, and I was all in. I'm coming to Florida. I'm getting out of Minnesota. Yes. I mean, I just want to get on a 3D printer so bad. Everyone knows that 3D printers are the next industrial revolution. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want my foot in the door, and I want to know what they're about, you know? 3D mm-hmm. printers
awesome.
Are... Yeah, I just sit on that 3D printer every day and like, what can I make now? What useful item in my house that I don't have that I could make to help me? It's an inventor's best tool, absolutely.
You're speaking on a 3D printed microphone, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And actually,
that's awesome.
A full disclosure, yeah, cool. Your hair was 3D printed, so it's really not a fair competition.
Yeah, it's not natural.
3D so. Printed wig, yeah.
I'm into that. I could get down with that. Cool. So you're working on the cake molds, on
yeah,
the 3D
doing
printing.
Cake molds. Yeah, I mean, just a lot of that stuff. I'm just being creative every single day. I've got I'm doing my Twitch channel. My Twitch channel gives me a little bit of that video. It gives me a chance to like work on my video game. You know, I've got to sit there and like make my channel better for the people that are watching. You know, people mm-hmm. are always complaining. So, I mean, Twitch is another thing where it's like it helps me on my video game. It helps me stay creative. Every yeah. day I'm thinking about it, like, what can I do to make this channel better, you know?
Right, you're creating content. Well, so
absolutely.
Two things with that. What's the URL that people can find you at?
The URL is www.twitch.tv/chumlord, chumlord.
I'm not even going to ask about chumlord. It's nice.
Chumlord.
but can you explain to the listeners who might not know what Twitch is?
Twitch is like a place for, all right, well, when people like describe Twitch, they usually say a place where you can go and watch someone play video games. But the way that I see it is like, yes, it's that. Like I'm sitting on... There's a camera facing me, and then there's also a screen of a video game that I'm playing. But in my eyes, it's more of a place for my, like, air quotes, fans mm-hmm. to come in and, like, hang out in a community of yep. like-minded people that like video games, that like Big Brother, and all, like, being able to converse with each other, mm-hmm. You know, and they're able to, like... you know, play video games against each other. It's just like I want to build this community, yeah. and I figured that Twitch is like a really good place to do it.
You're sharing, awesome sharing an experience with them, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. I'm sharing an experience that I can play with them. I can interact with these people, you mm-hmm. know, through a medium that I like, video games,
yeah,
and through a medium of video.
Yeah, it's part interaction and part creative performance in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just like that's the way I want to describe it is like I'm building a little community on this little channel. Mm-hmm. I just want a lot of people to come out, a lot of like-minded people, a lot of people that are there to have fun. I don't know.
That's the sunny side of the internet that we talk about a lot, which really, though, I mean, there's the shitty part of the internet, which is this
oh, yes.
like self-interested or insecure or pressured. It's just. Yeah, there's yeah. some, a lot of gross stuff happening there, but...
Feedback loop, never-ending.
Oh, totally. But
well, yeah, and that's the weird thing is, like, I knew that there was a garbage side of the internet,
yeah.
but you will never know the garbage side of the internet until you go on to
oh, God.
The program Big Brother. Like, the
oh,
crazies
man.
Come out of the woodwork.
death threats?
Oh, death threats. I've been catfished. I've had people call my bosses. I've
oh,
had...
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
You can imagine, like, people are... crazy. There's just crazy people. I've seen the darkest sides of the internet from this whole
thing. Well, here's the thing, man. People just are like searching for significance and
oh,
however they can get that, you know, they just want to intersect into something that they see and something that seems real to them. Man, well, that's just madness.
Some of my castmates, they don't understand that kind of side of it. They didn't know what they were getting into, yeah. You know? It's like, I always knew that that was kind of what it was going to be, but well, I have the rationality to be like, well, screw these people.
Let's segue from there, which...
That's a great jumping off
something
point.
Something I saw, too, like... So, like I said, I watched you on Big Brother 15, you know, because I had context, so it was especially yeah. interesting. I'd seen the show before. I wasn't a super fan like I know you are. But I watched your game, and I was like, you know, McCray's playing a game here. Because, I mean, I knew you in person, and I knew you yeah. were a smart guy, and I knew you kind of weren't the character that you were portraying at times. Obviously, yeah. people, like, knew you weren't. Like, you know, you really played up the pizza boy aspect, which yeah. was never really a thing in our dynamic. It was more like, oh, yeah, McCray's doing video production. Maybe he's Absolutely. Delivering pizzas on the side. But that seemed to, like, jump to the front. So I guess what we're talking about today is kind of crossing the threshold. And that could really be looked at even from, let's say, a professional standpoint is like going from amateur to professional.
Yeah.
But within this context, too, it's just like you were a fan of the show. And yeah. you'd analyze that, and then you were on the show.
You know, to start from the start, like, yeah. I've been a fan of Big Brother since probably about 2005 or so, maybe season sure. 6 it would start. I mean, my mom, she's always been a huge fan. She's just like, oh, you have to watch this season. These people are ridiculous. You know, get into yeah. this. Ever since I started watching it, you know, Big Brother, if you take it at face value, you know, it's pretty much like drama and, oh, crazy showmances and stuff like that. But if mm-hmm. you start to, like, look into the heart of the game, there's a psychology behind it, and it's about how people interact with each other. It's a very deep game, as many people would say, oh, it's so shallow and stuff no. like that. But, I mean, there's so many things that go into the heart of the game of, like, manipulation and, like, scheming and just, like... being a devious bastard. Right?
The blind side, like, the double blind side, the quadruple blind side.
Yeah, exactly. Just all that, like, I mean, there's just so much psychology of, like, being friends and, you know, not being friends, or, like, making enemies and, like, us versus them mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these different things that went in, and, like, that was what really captured my imagination from this game. Ever since then, like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, I would love to be on this game. I want to play the game. You know, I didn't go on the show for fame or mm-hmm. fortune or anything like that. I wanted to play the game, you know. I wanted bragging rights, and that's why I really went out there. So it's pretty much like any young kid, like, watching baseball on yeah. TV, aspiring yeah. to be a baseball superstar, you know, like, they want to play the game. Exactly, it's a dream. You know, but I eventually kind of got into, like, the Big Brother community as, like, the years went on, and I started to realize what kind of madness went into it, and, like, the skeletons of your closet that would be exposed if you ever went on. And, you know, I kind of became afraid of the game. But, like, my story of getting on is really interesting because I had a friend that was, like, I got my friend obsessed with Big Brother, and he was like, this is my year. I'm going to be on that show. Mm-hmm. There was open casting calls at the Mall of America. I was like, all right, I'll go or whatever. But I accidentally woke up late, and he was already in Minneapolis, and I didn't have a ride. And then I was just like, well, I'll just go down there. I'll get to hang out at the Mall of America. I'll get to eat some food with my friend. You know, we'll have lunch or whatever. And I was like, it would be cool just to, like, go see. Like, there's a former Big Brother player there that I really like from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'll just go take a shot. You know, you got to sometimes just put yourself out there. You just got to, like...
Absolutely.
You know, you just got to, like...
jump.
Face your fears. Exactly. Like, you got to be pushed out of the nest, as it were. You know, so I was like, whatever, let's do it. You know, so I get there late, and, like, I get in line, I start, like, analyzing all the people around me, because I know kind of the questions that they're going to ask just from being in the community. Like, they're going to ask, like, of these people, they bring you in of groups of 4 or 5, and they ask you, like, of these people, who would you align with, mm-hmm. and who wouldn't you align with, you know? And, like, once that question was asked, I jumped on it as fast as I could, you know? I'd be like, this person's too quiet, I don't like them, they're a schemer, mm-hmm. like, this person seems really dumb, so I'm going to go with them. You know, like, I started calling people out. I started throwing people under the bus. I pretty much started playing the game as soon as I got in line. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a really referential game, too. Like, I mean, I didn't really have that much context because I'd only seen a little, but the whole show, you guys are talking, like, oh yeah, that totally reminds me of like Katie from season like 10.
Yeah,
the whole time.
And like that's like the history that you have to go by. No one wants to repeat the mistakes of the history. So like, you know, we always kind of like talk about these things and like everything is reminiscent of a season before, you know, and like being in video production, like definitely gave me an edge because even though I'm a part of like the crew on video production, like I like to be behind the camera or behind the microphone. You know, I like to jump into the limelight and kind of like perform a little bit. I think that's fun. So that kind of gave me an extra edge also because I had that kind of like personality that's like, oh, I can be big. I can be a fucking stupid ass. Like, look at me. I'll be fucking entertaining, you know? And then, you know, I just called out all those people. Then sure enough, that night I get a call of like, we want you to come back for another interview. And, you know, it kind of just like went from there. And like, after that, I developed that pizza boy thing. Like after that very first Mall of America interview,
that hook.
And that's exactly what it was. You know, like everyone's your fucking, oh, I'm a supermodel or I'm a scientist. You know, it's like, I'm going to fucking take something that is so menial and so fucking pointless. And I'm going to tell them why it would help me on Big Brother.
Oh, yeah.
My pitch was like, all right, so this is like this thing that I always think about when I'm delivering pizzas. It's like, say you come up to a house, you see in their front yard, they have like a Vikings sign, like Vikings fans only or something like that. When you go up there on a Sunday and the Vikings just lost, you fucking play it up like those darn Vikings. You know, you try to relate to these people on a level that they are going to want to give you a bigger tip. This is what I pretty much came to the producers of Big Brother with. I was like, this is how I manipulate people while I'm at my job delivering pizzas. Oh yeah, exactly. You know, and I was like, I'm gonna play up this pizza boy thing and I'm gonna use being a pizza boy to my advantage. And so, you know, I stood out from everyone because no one looked like me, you know, no one really talks like me. I'm fucking kinda like,
you played up the goofiness for sure. Like just kinda like wandering around super like just being goofy. But it was You did it in a smart way, though. You did it in a non-threatening way. That was part of that pizza boy character. And it was like, oh, this guy, yeah, he means well. He's not an idiot, but he's just a pizza boy.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, and you see it in the very first episode, is that they have, like, all their, like, cutaways to the people being like, so what do you think of the pizza boy? And then most people are like, oh, this pizza boy, he's lying. He's got to be a super scientist.
Yeah,
and when
I saw
that when I got home, I was like, oh, my God, like, I could have been in trouble there. Mm-hmm. And, like, thankfully I won that first competition, you know, so... I don't know. So being a pizza boy, and that's exactly what my whole mindset was like, this is so non-threatening. I'm not like, I'm not a super scientist. I'm not a model that's going to use my looks or anything like that, you know?
Stay
like,
under the radar, essentially, right?
Absolutely.
So you were like sort of under the radar, though, in the first layer. I feel like there's so many layers of that show that are going on at any one point. You guys are like inceptioning, like you're like 10 levels deep. But, so you're playing that, but then you actually added a layer of allure where it was like, wait, maybe this guy's really smart. Maybe I should partner up with him.
Yeah.
And it was like nobody really knew, but you were still kind of non-threatening because it's like, oh, you know, just McCray.
That was always my like plan was like, I can in the real world, I can be like a fucking dickhead. I can be like aggressive. I can be, you know, I don't know. I can be super nice at times, you know? Yeah. And I was like, I've watched these people play this game before. And I know that people that get into arguments, people that cause trouble, people that are above the radar or that are on the radar, you know, those are the people that go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said before, like, my game was a lot of me. It was a lot of me laying back, like sitting back and watching the action happen and not being a part of the action. Mm-hmm. I was always thinking about, okay, what's my next move? How is this going to help me? You know, and that comes from watching the game and putting the time in of watching the show before it and thinking about all these different elements.
Was there how much time was there between you finding out I'm going to be on the show and like going to where did you guys film it?
It was filmed in, let's see, I think it's Studio City CBS lot.
Okay.
So it's in California.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know where the hell in California.
That's ridiculous.
But, I mean, I think it was probably like a week and a half before the show It was actually like 2.5 weeks sure. before the show actually started, but they brought me out there, and the whole thing about it was that they were like, you know, you're an alternate, so
oh.
you pretty much have to pray to God that someone...
You were an alternate?
I was not even supposed to be on the show. I was
oh my
not
God.
Picked, but like the CBS heads gave me the approval, so it was like either way, like I could be on the show. So that they gave me the alternate. So the whole time I'm like, well, this is never gonna happen. There's no yeah. fucking way in hell I will ever be on this show.
Were you
I was like, I'm
though?
Gonna. What'd
like,
you say?
You were prepping though. Like...
I was like kind of like training, like I was like kind of working out. I was doing a lot of stupid stuff, like juggling, a lot of like hand eye coordination
nice.
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, I brought 5 cartons of cigarettes just in case, you know. But my whole thing was, like, I have no money. Like, CBS is going to fly me out to California,
yeah.
and they're going to give me $1,000 just to stay in a hotel room for a week, and I get to come back and watch Big Brother. Like, this
yeah.
is awesome. I cannot complain with this. And then probably a day or two before we actually went into the house, like, I got a call early in the morning. They're like, oh, you have some guests coming up to your room. And in comes, like, the big wigs of the show, like, the voice of Big Brother, you know. And they're
yeah.
like, what would you say if we told you that you're going to be on Big Brother? And I was like, I'd tell you guys are fucking liars. Like, they're like, no, this is happening. So, like, I mean, I prepared, but I don't think I prepared enough because there was always that – alternate status mm-hmm. that was like, it's not gonna happen. Like, and I'm not one, I'm a glass half empty. Like, I'd rather not get my hopes up.
Yeah.
But it kind of hurt me in the end. But at the same time, like, I was an alternate. Fucking how weird is that? I
yeah.
don't know.
I mean, to be frank, like, you played a really great game. Like, I mean,
so many people would debate that, like, oh, you got into a showmance and you did all this stupid shit.
Sure,
like,
sure.
No, I like, from my perspective, I was like, I played the best game that I wanted to play. I
uh-huh.
played the game that I wanted to play. If I, like,
yeah,
like, that was the game that I was going to play no matter what. Like, going in there, that's always what I want. I wanted to lay low. Like, sure, me being in a showmance with the biggest mouth in the house, like, wasn't the best idea.
Well,
but at the same time, that was my shield. Like,
it was,
a
shield.
Always,
it was a shield.
I was push her out in front of me, like,
mm-hmm.
and sure, it almost bit me in the ass from, like, finding out now, and I could have screwed that up, but I mean, it worked out pretty damn well, you
yeah.
know. The reason I lost to myself, and, like,
mm-hmm.
that's, like, kind of a comforting notion, whereas,
mm-hmm.
like, it wasn't any stupid mistakes you made. I mean, it was a stupid mistake I made, but you can only blame yourself, and, like, that's...
You played a good game. I mean,
your own destiny,
a lot
right?
of that is up to, yeah.
Yeah, I was control of my own destiny. It wasn't like – that's exactly how I see it. I mean, I can't – there's no regrets. Like,
good.
Well, fuck it. Yeah, you can't complain.
Cool.
It was such a fun experience. And, like, being able to play a game that, like, I have put so highly in my head. Like, me and a person from the show, Spencer, we always talk about how, like, this is pretty much like hunting humans. Like, you know, you have, like –
it's the most dangerous game.
The most dangerous game. Exactly. Like, without actually killing people, this is what you're doing. You
mm-hmm.
are using your mental abilities to outwit people and to, like, outplay them with your mind, you know? Like, this is, like, I don't know. This is, like, the smartest game you can play,
yeah.
I think.
It's, like, it's a lot like Survivor. I mean, and,
well,
and you were using,
test.
I mean, outwit, outlast, outplay or,
exactly.
or something like
and
that,
I,
right?
I,
yeah.
That's what it is. I like using Outwit, Outlast, Outplay for Big Brother more than I like it for Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it applies to both, but, I mean, Survivor's only, like, 36 days.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the house for 90 days, and
it's
with
insane.
The alternate thing, I was there for more than 100 days, so...
And then plus,
I mean,
yeah, the... Oh God, that's just madness. Yeah, so I was thinking about that a lot when I was thinking about putting in your time. It's, like, 24 hours a day, really. I mean, it is the one... You know, Survivor, even, it's like, not really
no.
at all. And it's so edited and whatever. But, like, dude, people are obsessed with the show and people are watching you 24/7. Like, people are, like, scouring these cameras
creative
and paying extra money and, like, calling shit out. And, like, it is. Once I got into this thing, which I didn't really know about, it was like, oh my God, this is an insane community.
Yeah, it's the community is absolutely insane, and like the nature of the show is that we are in a house that doesn't have TV, we don't have books. The
mm.
only book that we could have is the Bible or
oh
religious texts. I did bring a Bible because I'm a reader, and I was like, I'm going to read something. And I read the hell out of the Bible. I thought there was some good shit in there. It was just ridiculous. But, I mean, you know, so we don't have TV. We don't have cell phones. You know, we just have to interact with each other on a constant daily basis. And then there's a live feed. There's, like, maybe 100 cameras, just a shitload of microphones all over the house. Yeah. And so the community can sit there and watch 24/7, essentially. And, you know, so you're being scrutinized by people 24/7, you know, and it's a daunting thing. In hindsight, it was daunting to go into. When you're in the house, like, you seem to forget it really fast. Nice. Like, you know, like but me being a huge fan, like, I knew that people were always watching. A lot of people in my cast did not realize that, and they kind of, like, oh, they said some bad things. And, oh, yeah. Like,
I mean, we don't have to get into it, but...
No, I'd rather not. But, yeah. I mean, we got very scrutinized, but I think with, like, social media and stuff being as big as it is now... Yeah, I think it's, like, getting there. Like, you know, previous casts, I'm sure, had a lot of horrible stuff also. But, yeah, it's our cast is not the best, I guess. But... I don't know. But I kind of knew. I knew about that. So I was always on my guard. Like, I was pretty much on my guard till about day 81, I would say. And that was the day that, you know, I walked out of the shower just butt naked. And I was like, oh my God. I just walked out and everyone's seen my junk now. And, like, you can literally go onto the internet and see
In a really sick way, I'm so sorry, but I remember something, because I was, like, a member of your, like, fan page or fan group or whatever that was, and I remember somebody, like, it was maybe on Reddit or something, they're like, oh my God, somebody caught a picture of McRae's junk, like, and I was like, holy shit, McRae.
But it's like, but I would be offended if anyone, like, looked or, like, if anyone, like, because, like, to me, it's like, I'd be curious, like, oh, fucking, if someone walks out naked, you're like, I want to see that, just because, like, how the fuck, you can never see just, like, a person like that naked.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, hold on, all right, I'm getting derailed.
No, you're fine. Okay, no, so,
this is really interesting, and I like how we talk about sometimes just the mental drain that performing and being creative and having that creative mode turned on can be even 12 hours a day or even 8 hours a day. And thinking about having it turned on 24 hours a day around the clock under scrutiny, sounds strange.
Like, because, again, like, I love the game. I watch the game. And I knew that going in there, like, people on the internet love when people react or, like, do fun shit, like, make traps and, like, fucking do fun shit in the house that keeps the people that are watching the 24-hour feeds entertained. And so I was always in those, like, in the first few weeks, you know, I was always, like, doing all this crazy shit. We had this, like, a Godzilla action figure. I tied a bunch of my bandanas together, made a parachute for it, threw it off the top balcony thing, like, have it float down. Like, I was always, like, trying to keep fucking things, like, light and fun and, like, let's make a game. I'd make games all the time. Mm-hmm. But, like, man, it got to a point where I would just sleep, like, pretty much 24 hours a day. I would just be in bed all the damn time because it was like, I can't do this anymore. Like,
was
I
there
couldn't,
pressure,
like,
though? Was there not pressure to, like, go and scheme? And did you feel like – did you ever –
well, there was, like, I got to a point where I was comfortable in my place in the game, even though I knew I shouldn't have been comfortable. Sure. You know, there's always that pressure of, like, who's talking? I want to go find out who's talking, you know? But, like, once I was in a mindset, a bad mindset of, like, man, I don't give a shit anymore. Like, I got into, like, kind of like, well, Amanda will just go before me. Fuck it. I don't need to do anything. Like, she'll figure it out. And we also had Andy, who was the winner. Yeah. Like, he was always our right-hand man. It was like, Andy will figure shit out, whatever.
Yeah. He was scheming, man.
Scheming it up.
Always scheming. Hey, if this is uncomfortable, we don't have to get into it. But I'm just curious, like, I'm just curious about really the lines and, like, reality and that being blurred. Yeah. And my first thought there was, like, okay, so, like, how real is anything there? You know, whether that's relationship with Amanda or just, like, the character or – like, are there points where you, like, broke character or like, I guess, what was the whole dynamic?
I definitely went in being a character. I definitely was not myself there. I always was, like, this persona that I kind of made up. I mean, it's pretty much just caricature of myself in a way, you know? Sure. The relationship with me and Amanda, like, there was, like, a part of, like, all right, so your life is on the line in this game, and there's someone that's like, I will have your back no matter what till the very bloody end. And so it's like there is it like resembles life itself, you know, like, okay, well, you can have a wife, someone that's always going to be there for you, you know.
Maybe it's a little more military style, like we're going into battle, like I got you.
Yeah, and that's definitely what it is, like a brother in arms, absolutely. And, you know, so, like, the relationship I feel like was definitely real of, like, we have to stick together. I am, like, I have to trust this person, like, and there was always a piece of me that was like, you cannot trust anyone in this game. Do not fucking trust anyone, you know? And so that would always wear on you, but, I mean, the reality of it all is that most of the people on our cast just played it fucking straight up. That's who they are. That's, like, who they were on the show. I think I was one of the only ones that really knew what the hell was going on, and I knew to not be myself and
play
a character.
Did you get some flack for that then? Or
People don't really realize it, I don't think. Oh, okay. I don't think people really, like...
They don't differentiate.
Because it's been so long, and, like, people are starting to see me, like, the true me through, like, my Twitch cams and stuff like that. Like, they're starting to realize who I actually kind of am, and they're probably worried and, like, deeply disturbed, but I mean, like, but I mean, I don't know. I think, like, yeah, I always had a, like, I always was not myself. Sure. And, like, when it comes to, like, the game, everything that happened in that house was, like, 100% real. Like, producers never were like, oh, you should go have a fight with someone like that, you know? Like, everything that happened there was 100%, like, legitimate, you know? Mm-hmm. And because there was always, like, the viewers, like, they could always be like, oh, that didn't happen. Like, why would that person go have a fight with them when they didn't need to have a fight? Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's kind of, like, that quality control with the viewers. So they have to keep it really real, you know. They can't really fuck with shit,
as it were. Yeah, that was definitely a question. I mean, it's such a – I mean, I only watched the actual produced show, so I wasn't, like, following deep into this, the other stuff. A few times maybe I ended up on a forum, but yeah, that was a question, I think. It was like, oh, how real – the whole thing is like this suspended reality, and you just don't know. And I really can't imagine being on that. I just thought so many times, like, holy shit, man, it's a game. But but it fascinated me, and it's like something like, ooh, that would be an amazing rush to just, like, play that. But,
yeah, I mean, for example, sorry to cut you off.
No, give your example.
Like, you know, when Amanda lost that veto competition to me and then she went home that week, you know, the edited version was pretty much like her bowling ball is like a millisecond behind my bowling ball. My bowling ball hits the pin, then hers hits the pin. That happened legitimately like that. Like, it was that close, you know? There was no, like, and that's what people always ask.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Yeah, and, like, that seems like an easy edit, you know, for the crew to be like, oh, yeah, we'll make it seem like that. But literally, that's what happened. And so you got to give props where props are due. Mm-hmm. And the producers do an amazing job on that show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was my outside impression of the whole thing was, like, honestly, my first impression was like, oh, it's kind of a trashy, I don't really know, man. Like, is this a trashy version of Survivor? But you dig into it and it's like, oh, no, this is like they're actually getting on to, like, way deeper levels because of the, like, the outwardness of the drama. It's less bullshitty. It's like actually real and like kind of crazy. But so you were talking about games and Twitch and whatever, and I think it's a great time to jump into what we call the off-topic topic every week. You know, it's sort of that little in between, give us a breather, we're getting deep into the you know, the other stuff. And this week, in honor of McRae, the off-topic topic is go-to game or go-to games. I mean, it can be a discussion about that, but, like, you know, just sort of, like, maybe your most nostalgic game, maybe you're the one you go to, or maybe the one you play with people.
I think, I like this. This is definitely – this is good. Okay. I mean, like, my first game that I ever played was Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo. And
great
that's, like,
all-time game.
Oh, yeah, and that's, like, one of the best all-time games.
It's like
but,
a Godfather 2.
Oh,
games.
Yeah, that's that, if you're going to be inducted in – or if you're going to, like, start on any game in your life, that should be the game you start on. Mm-hmm. But to go a little bit further than that, I think my go-to that's, like, whenever I just want to play a badass game It's Donkey Kong Country for Super Nintendo.
Wow.
I think
great
that's,
game. Another yeah, that's, great game.
I actually I played through that game on my Twitch. That was like one of the first games I played all the way through because it is always solid. It's always tough. Like it's always gonna be just a bastard to get through, mm-hmm. and it's just like so much fun. I mean, I don't know.
Donkey Kong.
King
very
of Kong.
Very simple mechanics.
Oh yeah, very simple mechanic. It's not the game.
No. Yeah, I just meant to ask like if you guys had seen that. Sorry.
Oh my god, it's so good. That
right?
That documentary is so good.
We King would of always, Kong.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We would always talk about that in the house. Actually, my friend Spencer from the show, mm-hmm. like we would do this thing where we'd do two shout outs and one fuck you, and so you give two shout outs to people back at home. And then one fuck you. And then Spencer's one fuck you one time was to Billy. What the fuck is his last name?
Yeah, I mean, Billy. Yeah. Well, there's Steve Weeby and Billy. Michael Mick.
Billy.
We can look it up.
I know. I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, okay, cool. Billy. We got to know.
Yeah, I know. I can't even think of it because I'll give him another fuck you right now.
No, yeah, let's. I will echo it probably.
You guys can do a two shout out fuck you if you want.
I
you
like that.
Two shout outs and a
hey,
fuck you.
Hey, that's nice. Vince, yeah. Do you want to start us?
Two shout outs and a fuck you. Is it themed in any way or do I just go?
It's just anyone. It doesn't matter.
It's sort of like two truths and a lie.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, but the
oh my.
But two truths and a liar.
Oh jeez, dude! Can I have 1 minute? Can you go first, Grant?
That's fair. Two shoutouts. I'm gonna give a shout out to. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna give a shout out to Egg Music, which was Lisa McGuire and Eric Fawcett, who I met with today,
nice.
And they're big fans of the show, and they're also incredibly talented and doing really cool shit. So actually, that's my two shoutouts. One to Lisa
Excellent.
McGuire and the other to Eric Fawcett. Eric Fawcett, like Lisa's an amazing musician, makes some really cool music. Eric Fawcett was like drummer. He was drumming with, he has his own band, but he was drumming with NERD, like Pharrell. Really, really rad people who support the show.
That
so that's cool.
I'll have to check that out, yeah.
Fuck you. I'm actually going to throw a fuck you out to, well, how do you say his name? Bavel? Right?
Adam.
He's getting at me on the old Twitter sphere. And usually I don't like to, you know, engage in this sort of tomfoolery, but you know, we were trying to find an intern actually for the show, McCray. Which we thought would be a cool opportunity. I mean, if I look back at like OMG stuff, I mean, I didn't get paid for like a year, you know?
Yeah,
and even then it was like, if you broke it all down, I probably got paid like under 20 cents an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Right. But those experiences are incredible.
Oh, yeah.
They're valuable. They're like formative.
The contacts that you make,
oh my god,
like right now this contact was made, you know, there,
right? No, totally. That's and so that's how it goes. So anyway, it's an unpaid position because like any of the money we've made has been reinvested into audio equipment, and it's
Absolutely.
A minimal amount. And anyway, this guy really got at us about that, and so I'm just gonna throw
I love him
and I respect him, but fuck you.
What's his
Absolutely.
Name?
Adam Babel. I think
Adam Babel. Fuck you.
ATBABEL on Twitter.
Adam Babel. Fuck
Adam
you.
Babel. Babel. Babel.
Whatever.
What
the hell is
it? Anyway, Vince, are you ready? You got two.
Yeah, I got shout outs. I would like to give a shout out to one of my writing partners at Yamamoto, who I've been working on this new business pitch with, Sarah Wheeler. She's awesome. She just started a couple months ago, and it's always been fun working with her. Second shout-out to – can I do this? Can I make this live right now?
Yeah.
Our two newest members of the 10,000 Hours family?
Yeah, no, I mean, and potentially three.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yes. We're bringing in a small crew.
Cool. We're growing. We're growing not only as a show but as a community. As brothers. And
Matt and Clem, I can't wait to work with you.
Well, and David, who you haven't met, who's the audio genie.
So all three of them, exciting. They seem to have
a lot of passion.
Energy. Yes, and they're going to do great things for the show. I just know it. So shout out to them as well. Big fuck you. Here's my fuck you. It's to Park Apartments, which is where I live, here in Loring Park, Minneapolis. Last night, I was sitting at my computer doing whatever it is I do, playing a video game. Actually, I'll get to that in a minute to get back on this off-topic topic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the windows in my living room, even though it's locked open, falls shut and explodes into a hurricane of glass.
Oh, my God.
Just glass
So
everywhere.
What happens there?
What's that?
Like, do they replace it?
Yeah. They took the window out today while I was at work. Now I have no window there. I just have the screen. So it's like, there's just a
big fuck.
This is great. It's been a real shithole. I also got locked in the bathroom. You remember this story a couple weeks ago. The door handle fell out of my bathroom, got locked inside. Had to tear out the screen, crawl into the alley in my underwear, wait for someone to open the door.
That's yeah, a it was big
like
a,
so this is like an, it's an old brownstone. It's like 90 years old and it's just fucking falling apart.
Gotta put it in a home.
Come on.
Yeah, fuck you to them. Craig, oh yeah, I'll do Craig. I'll do my shout outs. I'll just relate it back to Big Brother, I guess. I like to give a shout out to Spencer B. Clausen. He got a really bad rap on the show, but everyone that meets the dude, he's very genuine. He's very smart. He's just a really good dude. Everyone go to his Twitter at Spencer B. Clausen, I think, and send him some love. The dude's awesome. My second shout out is to Judd from our show.
Oh,
also.
Yeah, Judd.
Judd's a character. He's a fucking great, genuine dude also. I'm so glad that I got to meet these two people because they've actually been really, really good friends to me over the past year so far, and I'd like to give a shout-out to both of them. My fuck you is to the rat bastard Andy Heron, who won our season. And a fuck you to him because he's a son-of-a-bitch, lying, scheming terrorist rat bastard. And
but you love him, right?
I hope he burns in hell.
So you don't love him, then?
No, I love him. But I also, every time I see him, I just want to punch him right in the mouth. And also, a bonus fuck you to Billy Mitchell, the king of motherfucker.
I told you his name.
Yeah, fuck Billy Mitchell. that's my shout out.
That guy's a dick.
From the documentary King of Kong, real hateable character, the anti-hero, or not the anti-hero, the villain.
Yeah,
he's a straight up villain. But he is an anti-hero too, I guess.
You love to hate him, though. You love to hate him.
Like, he's entertaining. That was just a great documentary. We'll show notes that. I think everyone should check it out.
I have to imagine McCrae. I don't know exactly like how it was. I mean, well, I bet it was similar. But like, I did this. I talked about this a lot, Vince. But like, coming out of that Seth project was like. I did this project with a guy named Seth Godin. I mean, he's just like an author guy, so you probably don't know him, but like, I was obsessed with him, huge hero. So it was like the equivalent of me going on Big Brother.
Yeah.
And coming out of that, I did this project with like 17 people or something, but it was like post-traumatic stress disorder where I was like, so like, now what? Like, what's reality?
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine because you were there for so, so long.
Yeah, I mean, like, the interaction, or the relationships between my friends were different when I came back, you know, like, my family, they didn't, like, think less of me, but they always, like, had a knowing smile that they knew, like, something that I didn't know when I came out. It was just a very, post-traumatic stress disorder is, like, the best way to describe it, but it also takes away from people that actually suffer.
Yeah. Well, it's still a real thing, but it's just on a different level.
Absolutely.
I mean,
like, it really was. I was dazed and confused for 3 months after I came out of that house. I mean, it's a weird experience. I'm still a little dazed and confused.
I only mentioned it because you were saying, like, Judd and Spencer, it's like those guys know what you went through. They experienced something together. It's like nobody else could really understand that.
Exactly. Like war brothers.
Yeah.
Again, to cheapen PTSD and war.
But no, it's a different level, but of course.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, Vinny, you didn't tell us what video game, though.
Oh, yeah. I got so caught up in this fuck yous thing. That was cathartic and fun.
So liberating.
You guys can see that, but you have to credit Spencer B. Clausen.
Oh, that's his thing. That's cool. I kind of like that. I mean, we'll mix it up. I kind of like integrating that sometimes.
We'll give him the credit he's due. My video game of choice, well, going back a long time, I've been probably almost a decade long now Smash Bros. Player.
Ooh, Vinny.
Played the original, played Melee, played Brawl.
Wait, what? Are you like a competitive scene player?
No, I never got quite to that level.
Yo, Cray. I'm an OG. I'm like a 64, but like me and Woodbridge are pretty like...
They're above me for sure.
Not even bring that shit. I will smoke anyone that comes. I will.
All right, great. The competitive. No. All right, man. I'm gonna go ahead and put out like I'm not gonna
challenge.
I don't wanna say pink slips because like that would just be me giving you my 64. But
no, I'll do $5 money matches all day.
I'm into it. Is there a way for us to play online? There is
a way, but like you have to buy adapters and stuff like that. All but right. like hopefully I'll be back in Minnesota this time sometime in the summer. You better put your money where your mouth is because I'm gonna take some money.
I'm not fucking around here. Like, this is my game, okay? And that, it was what I was gonna say was like my go-to is Smash. The problem is I can't find anybody to play with.
Are you kidding me? Go to Minnesota Smash. All right, look on Facebook Minnesota Smash, and like there are Minnesota people. What'd you say?
What show notes? We put a link in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You should check out the Facebook page for Minnesota Smashers because I'm still like pretty in touch with them,
mm-hmm.
and like there's a huge Smash community in Minnesota, and they are fucking insane. Like, you guys won't even touch these people. Like,
whoa.
It's like I will admit that I can't touch these people because
damn
the community. And if we were gonna talk about documentaries, a documentary that I wholeheartedly suggest if you guys are Smash fans is a documentary called The Smash Brothers. Wow. It is a very well-produced documentary about the history of competitive Smash, and it's fucking awesome.
Man.
Who's your go-to good. Character?
In Melee, I'm a Falco main.
Classic. Like,
what yep. about what about in 64?
64, I think, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure I used to be a Kirby main.
Okay, yeah, yeah. It's a classic.
Also classic.
I'm a Falcon main in 64.
Falcon, okay.
He's my boy. Secondary, probably Pika. A little bit of Pika action.
Vince, who do you play?
I go Link when I play original. In Melee, I was a Ganondorf
ooh,
player. Skinny. At Spike, though. That Spike, though.
Yeah, that is sure. big.
And guys, then in Brawl, I'm a Day-Day-Day and Meta Knight player.
Wow. Have you guys heard of Project M at all?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's the Melee-ified version of Smash Bros. Brawl.
Yep, exactly. It's really good. I also suggest you get it. You don't have to mod anything. It's really good.
Nice. Some good suggestions coming out of this off-topic.
But I mean, the other thing about, like, when I started, like, looking up what this podcast is about, the 10,000 hours of sure. Malcolm Gladwell thing, you know, Melee, being a competitive player at Melee is always something that I've wanted to do, and I always think about the 10,000 hours when I play that game. Is like, mm-hmm. I just gotta put my 10,000 hours in because I want to be a fucking champion at that mm-hmm. game.
That's like, right, man, no matter the craft.
Exactly, no matter what, like, I want to fucking put my time in, and I want to just destroy people. I want, because like every time you ever play talk about that game, there's always someone that's like, oh, I'm the best.
I am
the best at that game. I want to put down every single person that says that. I just want to put them into the ground, be like, you shut your mouth. Like, that's I'm serious about Melee. That's my shit. I don't know.
I'm more of an OG player, but like, I know Melee's so where it's at. I know
really fun, but yeah, the Melee scene is insane. They're going to MLG with Melee. I mean,
Major League Gaming?
Yeah, a game that came out in 2002 is...
Oh, my God.
...be picked up by MLG this year, and so the community's crazy. Going crazy. The community's out there. If anyone's a Melee or a Smash fan in general, there is a community out there in your town.
Stronger than ever.
That's pretty cool.
Especially because of that documentary, because it's so good. It's getting people into it again.
Hey, when you come into town, man, you got to let us know. We're setting up... We have a spare room here that we're using. We're just soundproofing, getting it all set up. But basically, we're recording in-person podcast there, and we'll get the TV rocking in there, and we'll play a little bit of Smash.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can Twitch it. Is that what we do?
Yeah,
Twitch it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll bring my equipment. I'm bringing my equipment no matter what. Anyways,
put it on the calendar, boys and girls.
Sweet.
This will be good. I'm excited now.
Yes, awesome. As am I.
That was a fruitful off-topic topic.
So fruitful.
Very fruitful.
A lot of fruit. So now, as we get along in time here, do we want to jump back in for some last words on this transitionary kind of crossing the threshold topic?
Yeah. Well, let's lead you a little bit, McCray. I mean, we haven't. Well, I mean, even in the Smash conversation, it's like there's a difference between the recreational Smash player and the serious kind of maestro, master,
absolutely.
Craftsman, right? So. Yeah. I don't know. I'd love to just hear about the two things I'm really interested in is like how that went, like how that changed things for you? You know, I mean, for example, we were using the baseball talk before, like when the kid makes it, does that change the game for him when it's his business, when it's his whatever? And then I guess kind of where do you go from there? What happens next? And like, you don't need to know the answer to that as like a human or personally, but I am curious, you know, like this is now this like definitive thing. It's this thing that has become a part of your story, whether you like it or not. And I guess, how do you react to that? How do you move forward and live?
If I can jump in real quick, I think I would also be interested in the context of those answers to kind of hear about what it was like going from a fan who had one strict perception of the show to someone who was in it and kind of got the behind the scenes view.
And like, that's pretty much what I can like really talk about, is because, you know, I was a backseat gamer when it came to Big Brother, you know. Mm-hmm. I think everyone that watches this show is like, oh, those dumbasses, they should have did this or they should have did that, you know. So like getting into the game and actually playing it like there, it was so different. You know, I was completely blindsided essentially by how the game worked. You know, I thought I had like all these ideas of like, oh, it'll be like this and it'll be like that, you know, but when you got in there, it was so overwhelming because all these people are having these different conversations. You know, there's so much, there's such a learning curve really, because like everyone's pretty much learning the game at the same time, you know, and every season is a different kind of game. It's a different variation on the same game. So, I mean, like, that opened my eyes. Like, when I was there, I was like, holy shit, I don't have a grasp at this game at all. Like, I thought I knew what was going on in this game when I was at home watching from the couch, but, you know, it is so different, and you can't know what's going on. And when you're watching from home, you have this omniscient view of the game, but when you're there, you have a limited 2D perspective, essentially, where you only see what's happening in front of you. So, I mean, in that regard, it gave me a lot more respect for the players that have came before me, you know, whereas I usually, oh, this person sucks, I would just write them off, you know. I would always just be like, oh, that player was such a horrible player. But when it comes down to it, you know, that person was probably playing the best game that they knew how to. They probably understood the game just as much as everyone else, but they were playing a game that they thought would benefit them. And so when I'm like now watching Big Brother Canada just ended, when I was watching those people, I felt a lot more sympathy for them because I know that coming out, they're going to come to a lot of hate, and I don't want like someone that they like me, you know, from our season, like be like, oh, this person fucking sucked, because I had like people that I like from previous seasons be ripping like, oh, being like, oh, I'm crazy, such a shitbag, and like call me like a pussy in a way, or like call me like, oh, like you got to have some like, like, what the hell's the point of even talking about it if you're not going to, like, kind of rip into people? But I think there's a way to go about it, and if you criticize their game and not the person, but also at the same time have that kind of idea of what the game is, I think it'd be – it's tough to compare it to baseball, because baseball has this strict set of rules, whereas Big Brother doesn't have a set of rules, where it's pretty much just, like, this free ball – yeah, like artistic almost expression of like the human mind.
What an interesting way to look at it, man. Like, it is a beautiful game, right? It's like this like strategy, and it's just so much.
The same way, and like and this is a really weird thing, but like ever since like I started getting into Big Brother, like is right around the same time I started getting into Smash Brothers, and I compare them both so much, because in the game of Smash Brothers, it is like a free form combo game. There's no set combos. They're not just like, oh, quarter stick turn input this blah 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 and that's the combo. Like, it pretty much, you see something happen and you have to react, and it's like it becomes this like artistic expression. It's like this blank canvas that you end up painting on, and like Big Brother's the same way, and so is Smash. The way that I summarize all that
shout
shit.
Out shout out to Woodbridge here, somebody who I played a lot of Smash with, but a lot of what we talked about, and I think we're on the same level with you in terms of the psychology and like the game dynamics and the strategy, is like, hey, the game is happening on the screen, but there's also a game happening between us right now. Yes, you know, it's like, if I make you feel a certain way, if I react a certain way, I can change your game. And like, that is like the manipulative, like very raw, real level of Big Brother. Whereas like, no, this is all out there. Hey, real quick, Vince, are you familiar with this? This Teddy Roosevelt quote, the man in the arena?
No, fill okay. me in.
So there's this author named Brené Brown who gave this TED Talk that went very viral at one point about vulnerability, and she's really fucking great. And she wrote a book called Daring Greatly recently. But this quote totally stuck with me, and I'm just going to read it because I think it's totally relevant to all this, and it kind of gets at this whole idea of like haters and of critics and whatever. From Teddy Roosevelt. I don't know how well known this quote is, but it's amazing. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Fucking amazing.
Right?
That beautiful. Blew my mind. Yeah. And like, my favorite president is Teddy Roosevelt.
Boom.
Amazing. God damn, I gotta find that quote and I'm gonna post it everywhere.
I can link it to you real quick. Yeah, man, that was like the title of Brené's book, Daring Greatly. But it really, man, that's what it comes down to. It's like we can get so caught up in that's kind of part of crossing the threshold, right, Vince? Is becoming a professional and having to face the reality of haters, of people who don't like what you're doing, of people who don't connect with your work or who just really dislike it. And when you're in the arena, when you're doing that stuff, that's what matters. It's like nobody's really stopping anyone, especially at this point with the internet. And I mean, McRae, like, you just fucking stood up and you picked yourself and you went to the audition.
Yeah.
And I mean, even when you got in there, like, you didn't act timid. You played your game. You did your thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can take lessons out of that just in life, which is
absolutely.
Like, it's so, so easy to criticize people. It's so easy to talk. I mean, in a Billy Mitchell, you know, fuck that guy, right? But it's just what matters is like that you're doing it, that you're in there, that you're fighting. And, and even if you fuck up, like, you're still winning because you're like gaining so much from
it. Because you're the one that's doing it. And even outside of the world of gaming, I think that's just a tenet that we talk about in creativity and in doing projects. Like, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Putting yourself out there, trying and performing.
Just the most relevant quote you could ever pull, ever. Like, that is just perfect. I'm so
well quoted.
Yes, absolutely.
You just are on your game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no worries. You should read Brené's book. It's really good too. Daring Greatly.
Shit,
or her TED Talk too. I mean, we should show notes those, Vince. But
show notes both.
She's like, she's a really inspiring person. I mean, and actually, I'm gonna give a quick plug too. When I was talking about that scared shitless thing. It was very much – I actually used that – now that I think about it, I used that quote in that article. I posted it yesterday or the day before, and it was just basically saying like, yeah, we're all fucking scared, but like there are a few ways you can go from fear. Like, we are honestly naturally – we are hardwired to be afraid of things. Like, fight or flight, it is part of our nature, and now we've kind of progressed beyond the biological imperative and survival imperative to a place of prosperity, and – we can like fall into the shortcomings of that fear that is ingrained in us, and we can be assholes and we can like criticize people and we can just act like fearful creatures, or we can embrace that and let it fuel us and like we can play in the arena and we can do things that are worth doing. And I really think that like strength and alpha male strength is no longer true strength. I think that vulnerability and honesty, which are really hard to come by, those are like the true sort of markers of strength in this
era. Absolutely.
Well said, man, as always.
Yeah, I love it.
Perfect. So we're getting a little long here, so I think it's a good time as any to kind of ask our guest, McRae. We'd like to do this thing when we wrap up the show. We close it out on two questions for our guests. The first being, how can our listeners support you? And the second being, if you would like them to take one thing away from your time on this episode, what would that be?
Okay, the first one, how can you support me? You can support me by going to my Twitch channel and just hanging out, www.twitch.tv/chumlord. Just hang out, have some fun, you know. You're going to be supporting me, but hopefully you'll have some fun and you'll get some content out of it, you know. And one thing to take away from this show is you know, just dare to have fun, just dare to dream, fucking just do something, just go out there and just try something, because if you fail, who gives a shit? Like, I failed. I failed on a national level, but, you know, it was the best damn time I ever had. So go dare to fail. That's what it, I don't know, something like that.
Dare to fail. Great advice, man. Yes, perfect. Yeah. That is great. That's just awesome. And you were naked in front of millions.
Naked in front
literally
of millions.
Naked
in front of millions.
Exactly. And if someone notices me, now I just always think, like, this person's probably seen my penis. Like, that's all right. Like, now I have one
if
up
that
on them.
And nothing should deter any of our listeners.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's nothing left, like, for them to, like, yeah.
Absolutely.
You see my dick. Like,
how can I be afraid? How can I be
exactly.
Good?
Exactly.
Oh,
oh, that's beautiful, man.
Perfect.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time and man, interesting stories. I think hopefully we'll catch you when you get out here this summer, and you know maybe we'll have you have you on the show again. Maybe we can record while playing.
Yes, we can. We can do that. We can Twitch and record while playing. Yeah, we'll do it all. Everything.
All the content.
Make it happen.
Yeah, shout out to Grant and Vince, and big fuck you to Billy Mitchell once again.
Once the run, all right.
Yeah. Hey, McCray, could I ask you something? Could I ask you to, how we usually end the show is, like, we're all about shipping it. You know, we're all about, like, finishing it. Could I just have you just proclaim, like, let's ship it?
All right, yeah. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's ship it.
That was nice.
Is that good? Or is
that was so good, man. We'll end it before any of this. That was great.
I felt like a real asshole.
Oh, well, you can try again if you want. Do it more natural. Just, like, ship it.
Just take the first one. It's fine.
Sweet. All right, Vinny, I'm out. I'm done.